Go grab your Bibles, Hebrews. That's where we'll be tonight. Hebrews chapter 4. Thinking about what to preach tonight, and I was thinking about this message, and I thought, no, I've preached that. But I preach this message out a lot. I think I preached this message probably once here, and it was a long time ago. It was probably 2017, maybe something like. I haven't preached it here in a very long time. So Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 11. We'll start there. He says, "Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." We see here the ultimately the end of the passage, we find the throne of grace. This throne is the place where Jesus Christ is seated now in relation to the believer. This is not the place where he is sitting for everybody, and it's certainly different than the place that we think of when we think of the judgment seat of Christ, and we'll be there eventually. We'll stand in front of him. It's not the great white throne where he sits upon it, and whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there's found no place for them there in Revelation. It's not that throne that he's referencing. Now, it's the same seat. He's sitting in the same chair. But he's referencing it as something completely different than all those things. He's talking about a throne of grace, a place where we come and where our prayers come. We come to him in prayer, and we look to him, and we look to him as our intercessor, the great high priest. And we come to him with someone who can understand what we're going through. Someone who can understand the problems that we have, someone who's willing to listen, and he's not unfeeling from what we're going through or for what we're dealing with. And instead, he goes ahead and shows us that there is a place we can come to that is the throne of grace. It goes hand in hand. You can't separate it from the Word of God, as he starts it off in verse number 12, talking about the Word of God being quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, because when we come to the throne of grace, the one thing we can remember is we come there because we know what God does when someone comes to see him. The purpose is that we can come to him, but we reflect upon what he's already done. We build our confidence and we build our faith up knowing that God has answered before, so he'll answer again. We understand that what he does and what he has done throughout the scriptures and what we have read, the things that were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. And that hope is something that is, it's reasonable. Hope is not our wildest fantasies and dreams. Hope is something that is actually attainable. It's something we can hope in and we believe we can actually expect God to do. And so we see what he has done in the past, and thus it gives us hope for the future of what he does for us. When you look back to an Old Testament, you recognize the fact that he can have the walls of Jericho fall or the Red Sea part. He can go ahead and have an entire armies driven out from in front of his people so that they don't have to worry about even fighting. He can go ahead and kill 185,000 Assyrians in one night just with one angel. He can do whatever he wants to. He can rain manna down from heaven if he feels like feeding you that way. He can do whatever he wants to. We're looking at missionaries, and we're, you know, reading about Brother Cochran's letter, and you know, he made it pretty plain. Hey, if the Lord wants to give us $800 extra a month, he can. That's whatever he wants to do. If he can figure out how to do it, he'll just do it. We don't know how he's going to do it some days, but we do know he always does it. And that's the confidence we can have, and we'll get to that here in a moment. I'm trying not to get ahead of myself, but I'm very excited. And because this is the place we get to go, and this is the place we've come to tonight at prayer meeting, this is kind of the place and the purpose that we're thinking about. And so let's go to the Lord in prayer now, and we'll take a look just at what he's doing right here, something simple, but what he's doing here with the throne of grace. Father, I do pray as we come before you even tonight, Lord, that your hand would be upon us, that your grace would be sufficient, and we'd be able to turn and look to you and call upon you even now. Lord, so many things, Father, we're praying for so many needs, so many problems, so many troubles. The world that we live in today, we can know about things happening all around the world in an instant and be able to pray and be able to step instantly in front of God's throne and be able to speak with you personally and intimately about the things that are happening. But Father, not even about things around the world. We can come for our own needs. We can come because you care about us and our infirmities and our failings and our shortcomings and our temptations and our troubles that we're in even now. And Lord, I pray you would help us to remember that you are a marvelously gracious God. And Lord, that we would avail ourselves of exactly what you want us to do tonight. Lord, once again, I do pray you would be the God of all comfort to us this evening. Give us some light, give us some wisdom, give us some encouragement. Remind us of probably everything that I'm going to say tonight that is well known in this room right now. But I pray it'd be a great reminder of how wonderful it is to have a God who cares about us. Lord, we love you, and I do pray you would get the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. First thing I want to think about is when you're thinking of prayer, this throne of grace as we come to it, who are we even approaching to? He makes it very clear in verse number 15 verse 14 and 15, that we have a high priest that we come to, Jesus Christ, right? The Son of God. He says that's the one we're coming to. We're coming to this high priest. And it's Jesus Christ. We're coming to the one who could actually do it. Now he's called in 1 John chapter 2, he's the advocate. 1 John chapter 2 verses 1 and 2. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He's the one who's advocating for us. He's the one who's kind of stepping in, and the times we need him so that we can be forgiven, right? Isn't that mercy and grace that we get? We get mercy because we don't get what we deserve, right? But we get grace because he's not only going to forgive us, he's going to go ahead and take care of us afterwards. When we came to him for salvation, he was merciful to us because we don't go to hell for all of eternity. He's gracious to us because we got the gift of heaven. Now, we didn't deserve either one of those things, but we were given something. Grace gives us, it's a gift that's unmerited. We didn't do anything to earn it. We didn't do anything to win it, but God gives it to us. And God is gracious to us. And we come before him as our advocate so that we can have forgiveness and so that he can go ahead and bless us anyways. He's our mediator between God and men. 1 Timothy chapter 2. These are all verses we know. He's the mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. He's the only one. The reason he's the one that we come to, the reason he's the one that we deal with is because he's the only one who understands. How does God understand man without Jesus Christ? Job's the one who makes the great argument for it, right? Man, God's not a man, or I would come to him, I'd contend with him, I'd plead my cause before him. He's got all the verses, right? He piles them up. And if God were a man, I could go ahead face to face, we could talk about this thing. But God's not a man, and he doesn't understand me. Well, Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh. He's the man, Christ Jesus. And that's why he's the mediator. That's why he's the one. The mediator must understand both sides. He must understand that you and I do have infirmities, that we are failing, we are tempted, we are deceived, we are fighting against all those things, and that we're living in a world that is troublous and has troublous times. It's Jesus Christ alone that can understand that. God looks at us and says, if I were thirsty, you wouldn't know about it. If I was hungry, I would. I don't slumber or sleep. I don't do any of those things. Why would you worry about it? Well, we worry about it because we do. We get hungry and we get thirsty and we get tired and we get irritated and we get... And Jesus Christ became the man, Christ Jesus, so that he could understand what you and I go through. Now, he never failed like you and I do, but it made it so he could understand, he could be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. When was God ever infirmed? God doesn't have He doesn't get a cold. He doesn't deal with sickness. He doesn't deal with being tired. He doesn't deal with any shortcomings. He doesn't deal with any pains or sufferings. He's God. But Jesus Christ does. That's what makes Him so amazing when you get to say, well, I get to come before Him. Amen. He tells us in John 14, if we'd ask anything in His name, He'd give it to us. Right. It's all about Him. Because He's the one we're coming to. See, we can have the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, not because of me. It avails much because of the one I'm coming to talk to. He's the one who can have an effect. He's the one who makes the change. He's the one who wants to go ahead and do those things. And because He is that, and because of who He is to us, He says, let us come boldly onto the throne of grace. Now, He didn't tell us to come arrogantly. All right, there's a difference between boldness and arrogancy, right? You say, why can you be bold? You can be bold because you have confidence in the one you're coming to. Amen. It's confidence in who you're coming to speak to, not arrogancy in who you are. That's totally different. I have been accused of being arrogant before, especially when I'm preaching or I'm teaching. The difference is I'm not arrogant, I'm confident in what I have. The Bible breathes, where the word of a king is, there's power. If it were my opinions and my thoughts, I don't have so much. I'm much more reserved on my own thoughts and opinions, especially if I were standing in front of a group of people. I don't really like that. I got into a little bit of management over at Tussie Plastics, and Brother Dave can attest. You get into a room and you're there with all the people who are very much more important than you are, and they ask you a question and they want your opinion, and I didn't want to answer any of that. You say, why? Because if I come up with a solution, it's a bad solution. Now I'm in trouble, and it was my idea, and that's bad, right? You get a little quieter in those situations. Why? Because that's on me. I speak what the Word of God says. Guess what? That's His. The authority changes. That's the difference. If I'm the authority, I don't have quite as much boldness. But when you understand that it's His authority, that it's His discretion, that you're coming in front of Him boldly because He's your Father, you're coming in boldly because you know He wants to answer you, you're coming in boldly because you know He'll do the right thing regardless of what you asked. How about that? Isn't that amazing? That you can ask, and you know, we can be swayed in our judgment, but He doesn't get swayed. Amen. From doing right and just things. Yeah. We can come in boldly and go, God, I want You to do this. I need You to do this. And He goes, I'm not going to do that. Because You really need Me to do this. And what you're really going to want is, and you go, yeah, no, I don't. And He goes, yes, You do. Yes, You do. Because I always know best. Don't worry. Just trust Me. I can come in boldly because, not because of me. I come in boldly because of who He is. We step in because He's the high priest. It's all about His merits and His attributes. It's the fact that He is the one who is merciful and gracious. It's because He's the one who, when you step in front of Him, He does all things well. It's because when you walk in front of Him and you go and ask Him to do something, whether it's selfish of you to ask or not, He'll do the right thing regardless of your selfish motives. That's what He'll do. We can come in boldly and go, God, I want You to do this. And He'll go, well, I can do this, but I can't do that much. Because that's too much for You. You can't have that part. That's too much of consuming it upon your own lusts. I can't have You do that part, but I can do this right here. It's allowing God to have the action that He does. See, we could do verse after verse after verse of God being gracious and merciful and long-suffering. And I mean, the Bible's replete with it. You go all the way from Exodus, where He introduces Himself to Moses and tells him how he's the Lord, merciful and gracious, right? You can go ahead and turn over to 2 Chronicles if you wanted to, and you can see how He's gracious and merciful. You could go to Nehemiah and find out that He's gracious and merciful and He's ready to pardon, and how He's just, I mean, there's all sorts of verses that God is gracious and He's merciful and He's long-suffering and He wants to pardon and He wants to forgive. He's plenteous in mercies. He's merciful and gracious. It's all through the Psalms. How many verses do we have that God's a gracious God? Why can I come boldly to Him? Because I know He'll be gracious with me. Amen. He'll always do good. I don't have to worry about His answer being a wrong one. I don't even have to worry that I'll sway Him into doing the wrong thing. He's unimpeachable. He doesn't move and vary. I can't get Him to do something wrong where He'd be dethroned for being God, because now I can mess it up and you could sway my opinion and my thought, but He won't be. How amazing is that? I mean, it's unbelievable. We step up in front of God and go, God, I want You to do this. And He decides whether He'll do it or not. Yeah. Well, yeah, but is He going to do the best thing for me? When is He not? When hasn't He always made it good? That's just who He is. He's so amazing. And he says, hey, let's come boldly before the throne of grace. Now, this is very important to me. This statement is the throne of grace. It is particular because we oftentimes want things that are not just His grace. Now, that matters a lot, because most of the time we're not looking for Him to be gracious. That's not solely our purpose for coming to the throne of grace. When we prayed tonight, we prayed for a lot of things. We prayed for a lot of sick folks. We prayed for a lot of damaged people. And the reason we're praying is that God would have mercy upon them. That God wouldn't continue the course of action, that He would go ahead and fix it. We pray for miraculous healing, and God does that an awful lot for us. We've seen it. We've seen it where the scans come back and then the scans suddenly don't come back anymore. They're like, I don't know what happened to that. I have no idea. The doctors were like, I don't know what happened. It was there. I swear it was there. I could show you the pictures. It was there. And then 2 seconds later, it's not there anymore. They're like, what happened? Well, God happened. I don't know. It's the only explanation I have. God's merciful. And He is merciful. But the problem that we have is we want Him always to be merciful, and sometimes that merciful answer is not in His will. We know it, but it doesn't answer the problem for us, because we go, well, yeah, but the problem is I want His mercy. Well, you do, but sometimes He can't give it. So where's that in the Bible? Well, it's over in Corinthians here in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, isn't it? We'll go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I want to go a little quicker, so I won't read the whole passage. This is the Apostle Paul, right? He's referencing himself in the third person. He says this in we'll jump down to verse number 7. He says, "Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations that there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me." That's mercy. I want mercy. Take it away. Verse 9, "And He said unto me," the Lord's answer, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for My strength is made perfect in weakness." So Paul replies, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." This is the prime example. God, give me mercy, take that from me. And God says, I can't do that. Because if I take it from you, I won't get the glory that I should get from you. That's the answer. I don't like that answer any more than anybody else does. But that's His answer. You get over to Romans and He says, "I'll have mercy on whom I'll have mercy, and I'll have compassion on whom I'll have compassion." But you don't get to decide. You can't make God be merciful to you. There's only one time in the Bible that you can make God be merciful. That's when you humble yourself and you say, "I'm a sinner. God, be merciful to me, a sinner, and save me." That's, you met the qualifications to gain God's mercy right there. But in the rest, We may want mercy, but God may only be able to grant us grace because of His will and the way He operates. That's why He doesn't call it the throne of mercy. He calls it the throne of grace. You know, He says this back there in Hebrews chapter 4. You know the spot, right? That we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We may obtain. We may get mercy. That indicates we may not get mercy. We may get mercy, but we may not. But we always can find grace to help in time of need. Grace is always available at the throne of grace. No matter how much trouble there is, God's grace is sufficient. No matter how many storms there are, no matter how many troubles there are, no matter how many things have gone wrong, no matter how awful it is today, God's grace is still sufficient for today. Much like sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof, sufficient is God's grace for whatever day you're on. That's the way it works for Him. We come to Him because we need His grace more than we need His mercy. We would like to think we need His mercy more than we need His grace, but the truth is, without His grace, His mercy would still do us no good. Think just for a moment. If God was merciful and He forgave you, but He didn't give you heaven, where do you go for all of eternity? You're not with Him. The mercy's great. Kept me out of hell. But it's the grace that's added that makes all the difference. God's mercy is wonderful. But if you got His mercy and still didn't get Him, the deal's not that great. The grace of God sweetens all the deals. It makes them worth everything. Now, I'm not trying to downplay the forgiveness of God. Don't get me wrong. Praise God for His forgiveness and His mercies to us. But recognize the reason He calls it the throne of grace is that we don't always get the mercy, but we do always get the grace. And without that grace, we'd be in a whole lot more trouble. Because His grace makes it so that your weaknesses become His strengths. My strength is made perfect in weakness. That's part of the grace. We're weak, that makes Him strong. The days when we feel like we can't handle anything and we can't do anything and it's all above me and I'm drowning, that's the days when God gets to say, "Don't worry, my grace is sufficient for thee." We can find grace, but we only find it if you actually show up at a throne of grace. The sad reality for most people is that when their time comes, in the time of need, they don't show up at a throne of grace. And God's waiting there with all the grace you could possibly need. The Apostle Paul got grace here in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 because he came to it. He didn't get mercy, but he did get grace. He did get that. And it was sufficient. And the Apostle Paul's answer is, "I will glory as long as I get the power of Christ, His grace." Showing as the power right there. If I can get that, then I'm okay. Wow. He says, "You can come boldly before the throne of grace that we may find grace to help in time of need." He is there when we need Him. And He's never missing from His throne. He's always there. So if you need Him at 1 o'clock in the morning, He's there. If you need Him at 3 o'clock in the morning, He's there. It doesn't matter what time of day it is. He's not taking a nap. He's not away going on a fishing trip. That's not what He does. He is God 24/7, 365, all the time. That's who He is. He is unwavering from that position. And when you need Him at the throne of grace, He is seated and waiting so that you can get the answers that you need. That's what he wants to do. He wants to answer us. He wants to hear from us. He tells us to pray without ceasing. He tells us to come boldly. He tells us over and over and over again because he wants us to gain all of his grace. And it may be that he'll give you mercy. It may be that he cuts it off and it's done and the mercies of God are great and they're renewed every morning and his compassions, they fail not. He'll do it and he can answer and he can be merciful. We've seen him be merciful over and over again. But if he says no to mercy, don't be upset with him because his grace is sufficient. That is one of the hardest lessons that we need to learn. We get very angry with God because he didn't do it what we wanted. He didn't do it my way. He didn't answer my prayer. He did. He just gave you grace instead of mercy. By the way, when you get mercy, you still get grace. He just left off the mercy. And we get upset with him. You say, you get upset with him? If you've been breathing long enough and you've been asking things long enough, you find, yeah, we all have gotten mad at God at one point or another. Because he didn't do things, and we don't think it's fair. Well, it's not fair. You did that for them, and you didn't do it for me. If you've been saved for a while, you've been praying for a while, we've all been there for a half a minute. And hopefully we all snapped back out of it and went, God, I'm sorry. Overstepped my bounds right there. Because we all know he's going to do the right thing either way. He has never done anything wrong to us. He has done everything right every single time. And our slights and our feelings may get hurt and we might have this and we might have that. We try and complain. David brings his complaint before the Lord and the Lord goes ahead and takes care of it. Oftentimes we come before God and if we'd bring our complaint to him, hey God, this isn't in here. I'm going to add this. Just give me 2 extra minutes. When you have a problem with a brother, your job is supposed to go to your brother and go and tell him the problem, right? You've been offended, go tell him. Doesn't God know he's offended you? Like, you're mad at him. He knows you're mad at him. So go talk to him. Go let him know, hey, God, I don't like how you did this. I don't think it's right. Now, you and I both know. You go, well, that's not a really good way to go talk to God. I don't recommend it very often, but man, if he's got you with that riled up, you may have to go to him and say, God, I don't agree. And I know you're right, so I need you to explain. Can you explain to me what's going on? Because I think you're wrong. And I know you're right, but I don't think you're right. Right? You ever been there? I know God's always right, but God, I don't think you're right this time. And I don't know. I don't like it. I don't like it. God's gracious. He knows we're infirmed. Sometimes it's a brain infirmity and we can't think and feel the way we're supposed to and we know better. You know what he is? He's gracious to us. He says, okay, I can explain some things. He's still a reasonable, wonderful God. That hadn't changed. That hasn't changed. You get thinking about him. That's why you get to come before him. And when you get in front of him, he doesn't just swat you down or brush you aside. Because he loves you and he cares about you and he wants to answer. That's the God we get to walk in front of. That's the one we step into that throne room and we're looking for him to be merciful and gracious. And sometimes his answer is, I'll be gracious, but I can't be merciful on this one. And you know what we can do? Okay, I trust that you got it right. I trust you got it right. You don't do me wrong any other time. Why would I think this time's any different than the last? Because that's who he is. I hope you're availing yourself of a wonderful throne of grace. And I hope that the more trouble you get into, the more you run there. And I hope the more problems that you get into, the more time you spend in front of that throne begging God for some grace and asking and hoping for some mercy. Expect grace, hope for some mercy. That's the best way to get to him. It's a humbling thing, but it's a true thing. What a wonderful God we have. I hope you're availing yourself of a throne of grace. Father, I do pray you would bless our night tonight. Keep us safe as we go home. Lord, we need you. Father, I thank you for the privilege of prayer and being able to come before a throne of grace. Lord, that you're gracious and merciful and long-suffering to us. I thank you for who you are and what you've done for us. I thank you for saving us and keeping us. And Lord, I do pray that one day, real soon, even tonight, we'd get to go home and see our Savior. Lord, if not, I pray you'd help us to avail ourselves of that throne of grace as much as we can. We love you and we pray once again you'd bless us tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Get home safely.